my home down payment would be $74,000. But with my VA home loan, my down payment is zero. My service was then. My benefits are now. Get what you earned. Visit choose.va.gov. Not all veterans are eligible for the type or amount of benefits mentioned here.
Girls, I truly was just about to say Salt Lake City. It's Salt Lake City, episode 608-ish. And I'm catching up. I just watched the newest Salt Lake, meaning this past week, Salt Lake. And I had seen some like commentary on content creators' pages, but I didn't watch any of the clips. But like going on Instagram, I saw sort of headlines, Todd is a dick. I think kind of like Bronwyn's doing too much. So I was curious in watching the episode without having really looked at the clips and seen more about, you know, specific people's opinions. I was curious how I would feel. Like I had not like the baggage in my back pocket, but I certainly knew that there were some divisive behaviors on this episode. And I honestly was prepared to be like, yeah, Todd's a dick. But I didn't have that experience. So I almost feel like, did I watch the show incorrectly? This is one of those moments. And maybe it's just one of those weeks where I sort of like don't trust my opinion, because I also think it's hard for me to focus. I just think I'm just dealing with a lot. So I'm not giving it my all, also known as my 60%, which is why I always have to watch the episode more than once. This I watched once in full, and then I went back and watched the last, I think it was like last 6 minutes, but essentially the last 10 minutes again, and watch the after show. Because there were things, obviously, that happened and questions that I have. And honestly, at the end of the day, I find myself sort of confused about Bronwyn, because I'm watching her and I'm like, okay, to me, she's making a lot of sense. The way she's communicating to people in this group, she's very effective. She's a hashtag writer girl. She's a speaker girl. She knows what she wants to say, and she's able to communicate, I think, really effectively under stress, which is very difficult to do. I think a lot of people rely on their confessionals to fill in the blanks. Usually that's including some added like bitchiness because of, God forbid, whatever happened between said, you know, two feuding cast members between the time in which they filmed a fight and then are filming confessionals several months later. And also you have to like put your headspace back into the time in which that initial fight occurred. But I found myself watching Bronwyn and I was like, there's something here that I totally get, that I'm appreciative of. I like the fact that she can communicate and like takes no prisoners. And again, I do think she's effective. But also, is this going to work on Salt Lake? Now, I'm not doing the thing that's very easy for us to do instinctively, which is like, I don't get it, I don't understand it, whatever, send them on their way. I'm not saying that at all. I just started daydreaming in my head and thought to myself, wouldn't it be wonderful if she was on Beverly Hills? Because I feel like there are points on Beverly Hills, and apologies to Sutton and Garcelle for this, because they've done gangbusters work. But it would be nice to have someone else in the group, sort of what I thought Crystal was growing toward on the show, where it seemed to take her a little bit of time to acclimate to sort of being okay being disliked as long as she was standing in her own truth. And yeah, sometimes that is bitchiness, but we require it on Housewives. You have to be comfortable at the end of the day with somebody else calling you a bitch. You know, like that's the friendship bracelet for any housewife on the show. And if you're not comfortable with it, well, that can also be a fascinating, tension-filled environment. But with Bronwyn, I'm just like, the way that she is communicating things is great. But also Salt Lake City is, and I mean this in the best possible way. I couldn't say it as meaning it more of a compliment than I actually am. It's kind of a joke in the best way. It's like light, vibrant. There are moments of drama, but there's something about the way that Bronwyn is communicating that's maybe like too real for this specific show, which isn't to say that real things don't happen. They definitely do. There's definitely tension between Lisa and Whitney. Heather's doing her new personality trail, so that brings with it some stuff. Obviously, there are conversations about what's going on between specific housewives in their marriages. Also, apologies for having a cough drop in my mouth for like the 17,000th time. This post-pneumonia cough is truly kicking my ass. And then I look at Bronwyn and I'm like, is it because sometimes she has the tendency to sort of do the thing that I think Meredith has been understandably accused of, where it feels like you're speaking down to someone, but it might be in Bronwyn's case, the tenor of her voice, where it feels like she's treating other members of the cast like their children, which I understand, by the way. Some of these women can be truly, and again, greatest compliment, absolutely nuts. Like this franchise gets away with so much more than what other franchises can get away with. And I love that. I love that it's this kind of like bouncy, chaotic, total LOL experience. And I don't think Bronwyn is eclectic enough in her actual personality versus what she is currently presenting. We know she has a lot of money. She reminds us of that every 5 minutes and we get it. And I thank her for it. I thank her for her wealth. We know that she sort of dresses in the quote avant-garde style in confessionals, which to me is giving heightened costume, but I know there's a price tag attached. I'm not trying to say, you know, she looks like shit, but she just looks wild. Her house, wild. Like she has this kind of outsized personality in how it's being presented. Like we have the clothing, we have a sort of air that she gives. But I think it's like, is it that she's too grounded? Is it that she's giving me Aria of the Riad? Because I don't disagree with what she's saying. That's the thing that's like complicated. I just kind of wish sometimes, this is so unfair. It's like, Bronwyn, you're communicating too effectively. How is this going to work on Salt Lake City? Where it feels like she's cutting through the air a little bit. And I'm like, wait a second. I like living in the clouds when I'm in Salt Lake City. There's something here where are people going to be able to get away with shit? Because Lisa Barlow has been wrong so many times in the things that she has done. And I sort of love that. She's in my top five. She will remain. She's one of those people where I don't need to agree with anything that she's done, which is very fortunate for me, especially this season, to understand and appreciate her on the show. She's just like a one in a million. She's a true shooting star on Salt Lake City. And with Bronwyn, I'm like, you have all of this stuff with you that would make me think you would immediately be like maybe top of the leagues, phenomenal MVP level housewife. And that's not what I'm getting, which is okay. But it does take out some of the air in the room. I don't know how you replace it. And the Bronwyn-Heather dynamic is difficult because I think obviously a point of tension here is that Bronwyn does not feel like she's being supported or cared for or heard when she's saying like Heather is not making sense or Heather has bad intentions. And she has a valid point. Like it appears that her friends aren't checking in with her and they are maybe hearing her version of events when she's saying it, understand Heather's version of events, and kind of want to tap out, which is unfair to Bronwyn. It's obviously unfair to Bronwyn. And I think she has an incredibly valid point when she's saying to Lisa Barlow, you know, why didn't you check on me? I think Lisa Barlow's explanation is like, well, you did not technically call me on the phone after the anniversary party. So the, you know, walking over to the couch check-in doesn't count, or Lisa doesn't remember it because I think her brain had exploded at that point. She was so filled with frustration and anger and upset toward Whitney that she genuinely may not have remembered her pal Bronwyn walking over, which isn't an excuse, but it is an explanation. I think they're both misinterpreting each other's maybe expectation of their friendship or what friendship and support means. But I think Bronwyn has a valid point. Like, you didn't check in with me when you understood from Heather that my meeting with Heather didn't go well. Lisa Barlow's excuse is, well, you didn't tell me that you were upset, which the dot, dot, dot there is like, yeah, but if you are hearing from Heather that the meeting didn't go well and Heather was kicked out, wouldn't you call Bronwyn to see if she's okay? Like, I think that point is super valid. And I think there's probably a sense here, maybe of some level of shock that, like, Heather's being brought back down to earth, that there is someone who's calling her out for being manipulative, for attempting to be maybe less entertaining bone collector than Shibai. Like, I think that there is validity there. And maybe the Lisa-Heather dynamic is just the result of two people who bonded over the Monica stuff, who felt like we're more powerful together than we are apart, and we have some sort of obvious alliance. We're going to feed each other information. Maybe we're going to, you know, amp up someone's frustration if you're telling them something that is genuinely going to get them upset, but they obviously have some sort of agreement. And then I think Bronwyn is coming into this situation, obviously new to filming, new to doing the show, has obviously seen the show, and has been friends in some way with Lisa for a while. And I think Bronwyn feels that maybe because they were going in with a friendship, maybe it's her position in Salt Lake society or something, that would give her more seniority in the cast than she maybe deserves, because it's her first season. And I'm not saying that's fair, but I'm saying this is the universe. Seniority on Housewives is so fucking important. When you think of the ways that OG Housewives have treated newbies, Ramona Singer, Victoria Gumbelson, Shannon Bador with MKE, there's a lot to kind of dodge. The sort of generational differences on those franchises don't exist right now on Salt Lake, because Vicky can kind of say, I've been on this show for X number of years, and I'm also at a different point in my life and quote unquote maturity than Megan King Edmonds potentially. With Bronwyn and Lisa, I think they come in as contemporaries, but Lisa does have an extra foot in the door because she's been a part of this show since its fruition. And I think that there is an element here of like an expectation that maybe Bronwyn is going to be treated as an equal. But I think also there's an additional expectation that Bronwyn is going to be respected, and she does not feel the respect. And I get it. Like, I'm watching her communicate, and I'm like, she's making valid points. The problem here is that I don't know how helpful for her, like, I don't know how far validity will count. And you want to have someone in your corner like Lisa Barlow, but that doesn't mean you need to allow her to walk all over you. I think one of the biggest moments was sort of a little bit of a one-off, but I'm sure something that's going to be explored later in the season or absolutely at the reunion, which is, this thing happened off camera of there being this aha moment at the airport previously between Lisa B and Bronwyn, where it turns out that Lisa Barlow knows Bronwyn's child's grandparents and that there's a connection there. And maybe there hasn't been as much support or any support Bronwyn's way that she would have assumed she had. Like, Lisa Barlow, this whole Heather thing, again, I understand Bronwyn's perspective. You can make an argument there that Lisa Barlow should have checked in and did not. I don't think Lisa gets that argument, because she's taking for granted Bronwyn coming over at the party. And maybe she just kind of feels like you need to send me a Google Cal saying I'm upset. I'm not going to make the first move. They just have a total difference of opinion of what being a supportive friend looks like. But if you find out off camera, which I think matters because the stress and pressure of like looking like a bad friend isn't as magnified as it might be when people are, you know, calling their pal to make sure they're okay, which I think can be, you know, strategic for this very specific reality TV show that Todd has just found out he's on. But I think the fact that Lisa did not check in about that is really tough, because you could say, I've said you could say several times, you could say that Lisa B not checking in on Bronwyn after the Heather Michigas is not good. But the fact that Lisa Barlow didn't check in, knowing that Bronwyn was likely triggered, upset about seeing this through this like confluence of events, this family, the grandparents are now potentially going to be a part of her life because it turns out Lisa knows them, and dealing with the upset and processing of all of that and how that's going to affect her, how that's going to affect her daughter, whose name I just forgot. I want to say it's Lolly, but that's actually what's her face from Real Housewives of DC. It's not Bella. It's something else that will occur to me exactly 15 minutes after I finish recording this episode. The fact that Lisa hasn't checked in on that is probably adding an extra layer of tension here. Of course it is. It's something that Bronwyn made note of. And that's something that she's not going to announce to the rest of the group, because it's dealing with some really, really delicate, sensitive matters affecting her family and affecting her child. She's not going to raise that in the group, although I am sure she will at the reunion, and it deserves to be discussed in whatever way she's comfortable talking about it. But the question of like, is Lisa a good friend? I mean, there were a couple moments in the episode that did make me LOL. One of them was Lisa at one point when Bronwyn is attempting to drag her. She says something along the lines of, I don't want to be in the middle of this, which is, that's a wild thing to suggest after you are calling Heather on camera, seemingly as quickly as humanly possible, to pledge your allegiance to Heather Gay, I guess, but also to cause some problems. Like, I think that Lisa in that moment is making a pretty aggressive choice. I think calling Heather is an aggressive move. I think it's counterproductive if she's actually trying to fix something, which obviously she is not. And it's also self-destructive, or at least destructive for her relationship with Bronwyn. And to say, oh no, I just really miss her, with Meredith Marks being the echo, is ridiculous. You don't need to call this person so soon into the trip to be like, I miss you, I hope you, I wish you were here, because what you're telling Bronwyn is that she doesn't deserve to have disinvited Heather from this trip. That's at least what I'm hearing. And to do that, you're leaning, you know, Bronwyn's whole thing is, I think, is like, this person kind of needs to be more neutral, and they're acting anything but neutral in this dynamic. You can't argue. I mean, you can. It's Lisa Barlow. She can argue she doesn't want to be involved in this, but you directly involved yourself by calling Heather. Now, this is not intended to be a cop-out, but I do think that the thing that probably can't get discussed is, my guess is a producer suggested to Lisa, wouldn't it be great if you called Heather right now? Unless Lisa chose to do it because she wanted to fuck with Bronwyn, which is entirely possible. I would prefer that than the possibility that this was like production suggested. And I doubt, we don't even need to know that, but I doubt that that would come out at any point and that there would be a breaking of the fourth wall at that point. But it does feel like Lisa obviously understood this was going to upset Bronwyn and didn't care enough to stop herself from doing it. And also, her saying she didn't know that Bronwyn was upset, I think also it validates Bronwyn's point, which is like, you would have known that had you checked in. And in addition to that, I don't buy that Lisa wasn't aware Bronwyn was upset. Because if you're talking to Heather Gay about it and you know that this meeting ends terribly between them, how do you not check in with your friend just to see if they're okay? Like, what happens to just a check in to be like, are you okay? And I'm here to listen. Versus if I call Bronwyn, it's a sign of disrespect to my friendship with Heather. I would argue then there's a problem with your friendship with Heather if she's insisting that you're not available to this person that you've known for a number of years before they, you know, joined the show.
Are you feeling overwhelmed by hormonal changes? In the words of an unnamed former OG New York housewife, we support other women. There are more than 1,000 hormone disruptors living rent-free in our environment right now. In our food, our water, the air we breathe, the clothes we wear, our skincare, and they all mess with our hormones. Then there's the natural hormone changes our bodies go through. Perimenopause, menopause. And while it's a natural process, it doesn't mean we don't suffer through it. In the time before that time of the month, I don't feel like myself. I recognize a change in emotion after the fact, but during it, it's so difficult to understand what is different about the experience of being me that changes in a matter of days. The good news is we don't have to suffer through any of it anymore, because now we have Hormone Harmony, a formula made only with herbal ingredients that are shown to reduce hormonal symptoms in women of all ages. Hormone Harmony is not just a hormone-supporting supplement. It's become a phenomenon. Women cannot stop talking about it on social media. A bottle of Hormone Harmony is sold every 24 seconds. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over in their reviews. And there are over 30,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. For a limited time, you can get 15% off your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code AndysGirls at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code AndysGirls for 15% off today. Do you like free stuff? Well, you're in luck because Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal starts now and they are giving away free gifts with purchase. That's right. I have an exclusive advance invite to Buy Optimizer's Black Friday deal for the entire month of November. This is their best sale of the entire year. If you're feeling stressed out or haven't been sleeping well lately, you are not alone. You might not be able to change all the chaos out there, but you can start supplementing with one key nutrient to improve your sleep quality, as well as over 600 other biochemical reactions in your body. Magnesium Breakthrough is the only product I've found that has all the magnesium forms in one convenient bottle. You'll open less bottles, spend less money, and still get the top 7 forms of magnesium for better sleep, manage stress, balance hormones, improve mood, feel refreshed all in one bottle. You can only get this exclusive deal through my link special for AGs. Go to buyoptimizers.com/AndysGirls and use code AndysGirls to get your discount and free gifts today. And one last thing you should all know, all Buy Optimizer supplements are best in class. If for some reason you feel differently, you can get a full refund up to 1 year after your purchase, no questions asked. Again, the link to go right now for the exclusive code is buyoptimizers.com/AndysGirls using code AndysGirls. I never knew you could treat depression symptoms from your phone. But with this prescription app called Rejoin, it's possible. It's for adults age 22 and up with major depressive disorder who want to add to their antidepressant medication. And get this, it's the first and only prescription app authorized by the FDA to treat depression symptoms. Rejoin does not replace your current medication. Be sure to use as directed by your healthcare provider. And if your depression symptoms worsen, seek help immediately. Get started today by talking to your healthcare provider or visiting meetrejoin.com. That's meetrejoin.com.
On the flip side, Bronwyn saying she had this meeting with Heather only because she wanted to fix things with her and dangle the carrot of like, and also I have this very fancy pants. I mean, Heather Dubrow style, fancy pants weekend vacation, and you're not getting invited unless I feel like we're friends. Which one's counter to any number of housewives trips. I mean, I remember, and again, different city, different situation, but I remember when Bethany attempted to do that with Ramona on the skinny girl trip to Mexico. And Ramona was like, oh, just so you're aware, I'm still going. Like, I'm not going to say out loud that production is paying for this, but production is paying for this. And also, you don't have a choice. So I'll see you on the flight. I think Bronwyn suggesting we need to be in a good place is understandable if you're the host, but also it's a point of trying to establish some semblance of power in this dynamic. But to say you only wanted to fix things with Heather and not, I also needed to her to like prove herself to me. I mean, we're kind of leaving some stuff out of that conversation. Like the way that Bronwyn positioned, I'm going to give you an apology and now you give me one, like immediately after, is probably not the best way to have held that conversation with Heather. But honestly, I think Heather was on her guard throughout and wasn't planning to give Bronwyn anything at all. So I don't know that Bronwyn would have achieved her goal if her goal really was getting an apology from Heather. She certainly was never going to get it in the way she was like attempting to demand it, of being like, well, I'm giving you something, so now it's your turn. That's not how Heather Gay operates, especially if she feels like you're coming for her and she's coming in the door. What season are they on? I feel like they're on season 8, but it's, I think it's actually 5. She's coming in the door feeling like you still have to prove yourself to me. I have nothing to apologize for. Like, I'm too valuable at this point is the thing that I think Heather's thinking. I'm not saying that that's in fact her current position, because I think she's lost a lot of audience favor, which is fine and frankly normal and to be expected. If she was still sort of thought of in the way that many of us anointed her the first season, that would almost be concerning, because I think that there would come a point where we're like, okay, the wheels need to come off the car. Otherwise, we really don't know even what's being driven at this point. Like, that's just so entirely unrealistic, especially on a show that's all about a negative characteristic being revealed. Like, that's a big point. It's not just these big out loud fights. It's the fact that there's something nefarious bubbling underneath that even the people you love, especially the people that you love, show a more complicated and possibly, God forbid, unlikable part of themselves. And this is the point in which you either have to decide how you're going to continue to view them. You might decide to just stand and not acknowledge or deny the reality of some of the difficulties percolating, or you might say, okay, maybe I like this person because they're dealing with challenges, but I don't respect their behaviors in this moment. I think that Bronwyn and Lisa are operating in two entirely different universes. And I also think, I don't know how much of this is like Bronwyn and control, but I think she thought that by hosting the weekend, she would have more control over these people's behaviors. And maybe Lisa calling Heather was an example of her kind of doing a little bit of a reset or a pushback and be like, yeah, you spent a bajillion dollars on this, you know, on the private jet flight, which I guess that is their plane, right? That plane was like unbelievable. Holy shit. But also on the cost of this like crazy expensive weekend. But I'm still going to do things to assert the control that I have in this quote unquote friend circle. Bronwyn's never going to, not at this point. She's too early into the show to be able to establish herself in the way that she maybe views her role in this circle. And perhaps the value that she's bringing to the show, but she's not there yet. And she shouldn't be. That wouldn't be realistic. But also, you know, when it comes to her vibes, how is this going to work? Is this working? I mean, honestly, I need people's satchels of gold about Sully, because I found myself maybe a little bewildered when I was watching the episode, because I got what she was saying, but I also feel like you're sort of communicating to Lisa Barlow like she's a normal person. And I don't know how successfully that's going to work. How much responsibility does Bronwyn need to take on for the fact that Lisa Barlow is a little bit of a cartoon? You know, how fair is that? But this is the universe. We're watching Housewives cartoonery, and it's, you know, been pretty consistently great. The other point here is, you know, Todd's reaction. Now, this man has obviously not watched a second of the show. I'm curious for how Bronwyn described the show to Todd. Did she say this is going to be a little bit of a menace, but it's a lot of fun? He's obviously someone who is charmed by Bronwyn, likes that she's different, likes that she's quirky, eclectic, is, you know, probably a little embarrassed, but like tickled about the fact that she shows up in these outlandish, insane costumes to like pick him up from the airport, which P.S. you guys have been together for how long and she's picking you up from the airport? I mean, she's a keeper, Todd. That's a big fucking move, especially when you haven't been, you know, when you've been dating for more than a minute. I'm never going to do that. But I also think schlepping to JFK or LaGuardia is just, that's no. That's why God gave us Lyft and a Lyft line or the train. Or an air train, or any number of other things that don't involve me taking that schlep. I feel like his reaction to fighting is, I do not want people to fight, which is an understandable feeling to have, but it's an entirely unrealistic goal because there should be sort of like a low yell that's happening just at the foundation of any kind of housewives trip. There should be just like an almost unheard of, like maybe you need a dog whistle for it, but there should be someone freaking out at some point or getting ready to bubble to the surface. Because what else are we going to focus on at your like couple's dinner that night? I don't know if Lisa and John Barlow end up leaving. I really hope they don't. But if they do, that's not a great sign for Bronwyn as the host, because the thing that doesn't entirely make sense is you as a viewer want to be able to enjoy and remember a couple's trip. And if it's Bronwyn's couple's trip, she gets to maintain ownership, even if, God forbid, she's like the target of a fight or an attack. You want to be able to have the thing happen while you're hosting an event, a weekend, a trip, because you know it's going to be, I think, at least this is my argument, you know that it's going to be memorable for the audience. If Lisa and John leave, I think that's taken some of the air out of the balloon. And Todd might be happier because it's more quiet, but that doesn't work for production, technically for the cast, if you're thinking forward to these episodes, and certainly for the audience. Now, I mean, listen, the cast of Salt Lake is talented. There's a lot of other stuff going on. So maybe it'll be Meredith and Seth giving each other rage eyes, or Angie K putting on new sunglasses, Whitney technically being present and her hair looking great. And that's some of her best work, to be honest, at this point. Justin's there. And so that, I mean, there's, what do you do if the person who is at the core of a lot of the chaos this season is removed? Like, you might think for your life that removing the chaos agent is good. Todd is treating the show like it's his life, which I get. And he has so much fucking money, because we're reminded of it every 5 minutes, and so much power, that I would understand him wanting to. He's how old, has been in this for a minute, doesn't need to deal with it. But this is the problem of joining a show like Housewives, because chaos is at the heart of these franchises, or at the heart of seasons when they're good. The expectation is not for peace. People say that over and over again while their behavior suggests anything but, because they want to remain on the show and they don't want to be seen as boring. Like, even mediators on these shows are typically quirky in some way. Eileen Davidson had a personality and maybe wasn't brought back, or did she actually leave of her own accord? Was she like one of the five people who left? She might have, but wasn't brought back, one could argue, because she was perhaps too normal, which is wild when you think that she's the one also coming from the soap opera universe as Lisa Rinna was. And boy, those two couldn't be more different. With Bronwyn and Todd, I just kind of feel like, what was the initiation stuff here? And also, when Todd was communicating to Bronwyn, I actually don't think he did too much in saying to John Barlow, like, you guys need to figure your shit out, otherwise you're skadoodling. Because again, I get what he's saying. And I understand that he would want to have a relaxing weekend, but then you don't sign up for this show. Like, don't ask. Well, I guess you can ask for what is not possible, because that makes it more fun for us. But to suggest that like I've been in this world too much, or I don't like dealing with the chaos, or I don't like dealing with the noise, I do think he's trying to protect his wife. I also think he's trying to protect his peace. And one of those things is probably impossible, and possibly, frankly, both. Continue to defend your wife, but also she wasn't giving, maybe it's because she knows how to handle him, but her positioning, it felt like she physically was kind of like, I'm gesticulating with my shoulders and arms right now, which is incredibly helpful on an audio podcast. It felt like she was kind of becoming smaller in front of him. And I just kind of wondered, is that what your dynamic is? Or is this just an odd moment? Because I felt like she had more that she wanted to say about Lisa or whatever else than what Todd was interested in hearing, which is an extra layer on top of this. I also just think his energy, I wonder if he sort of regrets doing the show or if he has an appreciation for it after it's been filmed. Like, I would actually wonder, I don't know if the husbands are going to be at the reunion. I don't know if Todd is going to be forced to attend or would want to. But I would be curious for his thoughts after the fact. Like, does he regret doing this show? What did he understand about the show before coming in? And how much faith did he have in being able to completely either take control of the environment or change it according to his will? Because again, on its face, like, he's trying to defend his wife. I understand that. I appreciate it. But also, do we really want to kick them out? Lisa Barlow and John? Is a producer at any point tiptoeing in and being like, alternatively, how about they stay and we don't figure anything out and maybe you don't see each other until dinner tonight? Like, that would probably be the option that I would present if I was Susie producer trying to figure all of this shit out. But also, I'm sort of describing this trip like it's the trip. It's not the trip. It's a weekend trip that she's hosting, good for her, where she's pretending that they're going to buy $5 million plus of diamonds. When the jeweler came into the picture and only had two boxes, and one of those boxes was like a $4 million necklace, and the other was like $1.4 or $1.6 million versus million dollars of like diamond solitaire earrings. I thought to myself, are we pretending that this is something that he would be buying her for her anniversary? Because I don't totally believe that that's realistic, even though he has obviously more money than God. But I don't think he's spending $5 million. And then when the jeweler left the items with her, I was like, oh, okay. Was this more of an exchange? I'm sure he's going to get her something gorgeous, fabulous. It's going to cost a bajillion dollars. I just don't think it's going to be $5 million. Or I sort of like hope for their sake that it's not, because that just feels, I don't know, maybe it's just me. That feels a little expensive. That feels like it should be, there should be a budget. If there isn't, maybe someone should have written one down, like one less zero. I don't know, half a mil. Is that, if they're scaling back? When the jeweler left the boxes, I was like, oh, okay. So she's going to try them on sort of like Jenna fucking Lyons' daytime diamonds. Like, she's going to try these. She's essentially renting this jewelry, probably, I would think, for free if she had a relationship with the jeweler. And also, they're getting some time on the show. That's happened over things that are worth far less than those pieces. But it was also just kind of a reminder to us. And I'm almost like gritting my teeth at this, of just how much money they have. I mean, be careful what you wish for. I always want to see the person on the show who has like genuine wealth. But the counter of that is that they have to reintroduce it at every single point. And it can get ever so slightly annoying. But keep it coming. But also, I get it. You have a private jet and we're trying on jewelry that's worth a bajillion dollars. And there we are. I mean, I don't know. I also did appreciate her referencing her husband as a knight in shining asshole. I mean, come on. That was delightful. And also seemingly being a little sensitive to the fact that his manner can be ever so slightly cold, I guess, or intense. Like, when Todd has had enough, I guess everyone has had enough. And I think overall, the husbands on this show are certainly more used to this and do have a sense of humor. And Todd seems to have one overall about his wife. So I think we just need to remind or explain to him that that sense of humor should carry for a lot of this. Even if you think your wife is being mistreated, look at the way that all of the other husbands reacted, which is that, you know, Salt Lake City Stockholm syndrome. I don't know, but judging by their confessionals, judging by their reactions in the pool, it's like, oh, is that yelling? Huh. Anyway, back to talking about other stuff because we don't want to go anywhere fucking near this. And speaking of anywhere fucking near this, this whole idea that Justin needs to apologize to Lisa, which I think she referenced at the tail end of the episode, like everyone owes me an apology. Now, I don't understand the everyone owes me an apology part, but the idea over those smashed potatoes, which I can't get out of my head, that John would think Justin owes Lisa an apology is something that I don't think originated in John's head. I think Lisa suggested / commanded John to get Justin to understand that he needed to apologize to Lisa, which I didn't understand on last week's episode, again, over those smashed potatoes. But I did think to myself, what is it that Lisa wants an apology for? If I'm just thinking only of that party, then I would think that Lisa incorrectly thinks she deserves an apology from Justin. If Justin needs to apologize to anybody, I would think, well, no, I don't even think that makes sense. But like maybe some sort of like, I'm so sorry that tension happened between us, bud, conversation between John and Justin, which I think we sort of got over their mano-a-mano happy hour from the previous episode. Is she thinking that she's owed an apology because of the rumor? Because if that's the case, then it's Whitney who owes an apology to Lisa, not Justin. Unless Lisa thinks that she's owed two apologies, one by each spouse, which I think is nonsensical. Like that doesn't make any sense to me. And also putting your husband in this weird, I mean, I guess if it's like, if we're going down like gender lines and spousal stuff, if you really think that Justin owes you an apology, I get saying to your husband, please get this for me. But I don't understand why she thinks she deserves it, unless it's about the reunion, which again is more of a Whitney issue than a Justin one. And also Lisa's the one who was physically inserting herself to Justin first. It's not like Justin was like, you're doing too, he wasn't doing what Todd is doing this episode that I remember. He wasn't saying you're doing too much. He was standing back to all of this. It's Lisa who approached him and was like, your wife's a liar. So maybe, I mean, I guess Lisa couldn't apologize to him for that because it does appear that Whitney once again is incorrect with something she's asserting quite heavily that does involve Lisa. If I was Lisa, I would be done with Whitney at this point because of the Utah Jazz tickets, BJ conversation, everything else. Like Whitney has been the carrier of bad rumors about Lisa and her business for more than a minute. So if I was Lisa, I would be very fed up about that. But I don't know how you kind of get around this expecting that Justin is going to take some responsibility here. I don't know that it's owed.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a My Lowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.
Also, this is going to be, how do I say this? I know that I've said some things on the pod that have gotten people up in arms. Maybe it's the Shan standum. Maybe it's if there are three people out there who are loving New York, I don't know. When Lisa said, I don't love the food in Italy, my first thought was like, how dare you? Also, her explanation of the food is too fresh is such a, it's a truly American response to be like, where are all the chemicals? But also, this woman does love herself a 44-ounce Diet Coke. So you bring the look at Jill Zarin when she goes on a cruise. She has a or goes on a trip to Europe. She brings a suitcase of Diet Cokes because she's shown us that on Instagram. Because the Diet Coke in Europe or Coke Zero or whatever is ever so slightly different than the Diet Coke in the States. And she cannot be without it for X number of days, let alone hours. So Lisa Barlow, 44 ounces plus ice, lemon. I used to have it memorized. Feeling like the food in Italy is too fresh is a joke because a lot of people would argue that's why it's so good, because it's fresh. The one, and I know I'm going to get shit for this, and that's okay. The one asterisk I would kind of put to that, and I got into this in a Patreon episode that I recorded when I was in Rome. I didn't love the, if we're going to be specific to Rome, or specific to Italy, I didn't love the food in Rome. And I did so much research to get all the recommendations of all the places and like so many different energies, because I'm a psychopath curator of foodiness when it comes to like being away, being abroad. But I think the difficulty for me, I take responsibility for it. I didn't love the food in Rome, but a lot of that was on me. And I think it's because I'm a vegetarian. And Rome specifically, I'm going to fuck up the pronunciation, but it's like, it's pig focus. Guanciale, you know what I'm saying? It's like, that's at the heart of any number of delectable pasta dishes, other stuff. Because I don't eat ham or pork, I missed out on, you know, what on any number of the cacio e pepe, cacio e pepe I could have, the other stuff, amatriciana, like a lot of the other sort of hallmark dishes of Rome, I couldn't have because I was a vegetarian. So I put that more on me. That's more of a me problem than it is a Rome problem. But I did think a very small part of me was like, not that I'm nodding my head, because that's not happening, but a small part, and also the cheese was phenomenal. Oh my God. But there was a part of me that was like, okay, you know, this isn't changing my life as the, you know, the food that I've had in other countries has. So when she started to talk, I was like, this is a hot take a lot of people are going to disagree with, rightly so. Also, that was just Rome specific. To say the entirety of Italy, you don't like the food, I just can't imagine it. I just really can't imagine it. My qualms were Rome vegetarian specific. Lisa saying she doesn't like the entirety of the country because she's missing that Splenda energy that makes America so great is wild. But also, these are the things that I love and appreciate and celebrate about Lisa Barlow, because who else, not that she could get away with this, but like, that feels like a thing that Lisa Barlow, that feels like an opinion I'm not surprised that Lisa Barlow has. Like that adds up to me. That really genuinely adds up. I do have to say, I don't know what's going on with Meredith and Seth, but the thing that made me just feel happy, not about their, you know, relationship curdling, was just the way that Meredith was talking about getting hearing aids. Like, I'm skipping entirely over her marriage problems. Apologies. I feel like haven't we litigated that? I don't know what's going to, I mean, he's gone a lot. She doesn't like that. I nod and say, yes, I understand. I don't know what, I mean, it's an ongoing problem. I assume that a part of it is because technically maybe they could be closer to each other in states if she wasn't in Salt Lake City. But the reason she's in Salt Lake City, neither of the kids are there, right? The reason that she's in Salt Lake City is because of filming the show, is it not? I mean, I know she has a jewelry store, she has the company, but like, you could fly in to see that. You could do a lot of stuff that doesn't need to happen in person in the store. We actually really haven't gotten any or a lot of like store content of her being in, you know, Meredith Marks jewelry, the boutique. We haven't seen an awful lot of that, I don't think, this season, which is completely fine. But I would think that there's like an extra level here of maybe there's a way they could figure things out if she wasn't based in Salt Lake. But she has a job. He has a job that's taking him places. She has a job that keeps her in Salt Lake for X number of months a year. She has the right to say, I feel like you are not respecting my needs, which is being here more often. And how have we grown? I guess the problem started 18 years ago, she said. Like, how have we grown from that time? They're still having the same issue, understandably so, because he's often gone and her love language is having him fucking around. I mean, not fucking around, but having him fucking around her. Which I don't think still grammatically solved it. Having him in the same area that she is so that they can be together. And him leaving a couple's trip, you know, what, he's given her 50%? I assume it's two nights. He has to leave after night one. Not great. And I also don't see Meredith Marks. I mean, could she fly with him to be in Ohio more? I guess that's not really her energy. And I do have to note, I don't know if I've been in Ohio before. I don't remember, and that's a me problem. And again, as we know, I'm very young. But friend of the pod, Justin Anderson, has been doing some, like, you know, out of state content stuff on his Instagram stories, and he posted a trip to Somewheresville in Ohio, and like he was walking through this neighborhood, and it looked fucking incredible. And I started to think to myself, should I move to this neighborhood of Ohio, which I'm sure I couldn't afford, because it was just so fucking adorable. It was like something like a Dutch village or something, Ohio. I'm people listening to this in Ohio are like, oh, it's so-and-so Ohio. Like I don't even know where it was. And then posting photos of the food he was having in Ohio and all, it looked incredible. And then I'm thinking to myself, why the fuck do I live in New York City when I could have probably a better quality of life and genuinely in this town in Ohio? I think I have lived here for too long. I'm just looking for my next adventure. But circling back to Meredith and Seth, I don't know what you do with that. I don't know what you do with someone who needs more than what you choose to or can afford to give. Like, if his job, he has some like senior position in his company, right? Is it possible that there could be a way to scale back his travel, or is this his version of scaling back? Because they can't just keep circling the drain on this over and over again. I don't know how much longer Meredith has to give to this. Like, she might just be tapped out, and I don't begrudge her for it. But also, is there really no solution? Oh, actually, I say that out loud, remembering that I watched the after show before recording this, and I forget what resolution they had or found, but she said they're doing a lot better now. And I would assume they would, or they would be like heading toward some sort of other thing. So I don't know what they were able to resolve. Maybe he was able to scale back, but it is very apparent that they are not necessarily vibing and having the same energy with each other right now. Although, once again, just need to circle back. The energy that she had about the hearing aids, I was just like, listen, Angels by Ramona, having a hearing aid is not an indicator that you are X number of years and need to be thought of in that way. It's an indicator that you have hearing loss. And she's helping herself to find a solution. I was just like, yes, like, take back power from these things that are so often used against women, against people, as a sign of, God forbid, getting older. Heaven forbid, she says, noting that she has had a years long joke around spiritually mid-20s plus. Getting away from that, which is an LOL. I just really appreciated that moment. I don't know what to say about the tension between Meredith and Sean over this whole Brooks thing, because when it first, they got into more of it on the after show. So I guess the problem here is that Sean is upset because he feels like Meredith was involved in spreading rumors that he might be in the closet. And Meredith's response on a TikTok video or something was to say, I would never question a person's sexuality. My son is gay. I understand the experiences that he has had. I would never suggest and make into a joke or gossip questioning someone's sexuality, which then I guess led Sean to doing this podcast interview. I don't even know with whom, whoever it was, but and saying she shouldn't be using her son. And like, I guess on its face, I could understand Sean saying you shouldn't be like using your son to avoid responsibility for this thing. But also Meredith is direct. I think Meredith has valid reason to say, because I have a child that is a part of the LGBTQ community, I would never use that as content or weaponize it or whatever else. So I don't know if we've learned anything about anything when we start to add into the equation as Lisa's experiencing versus Angie K, like the questioning of a housewife's parenting skills is not great. The insertion of putting a child into the middle of this, regardless of whether or not they're, you know, technically grown or whatever, is not great. I don't like it when it happens on Orange County. I don't like it when it happens on Salt Lake. I still don't think that Angie understands that Lisa, as she did a couple episodes ago, saying you use Electra's calling as an excuse not to talk to me right now. I don't know that Angie, at least as I understand it, I don't know that Angie quite gets that that's not insulting her parenting. That's just a thing that she uses as a way to get out of continuing phone calls with Lisa Barlow, which I do think is genuinely funny, but it's not questioning her parenting. So then to bring up all this stuff with Henry, which does question the parenting, I understand absolutely Lisa's perspective in that. And I just added the qualifier of like, don't bring kids into the picture. But I think Lisa just naming Electra had nothing to do. It was just misinterpreted and misunderstood, which I get. But like it didn't have anything to do with Angie's parenting. It was just Lisa raising that she has seen this pattern of Angie getting out of conversations by being like Electra's home, which I personally think is very funny. It's something that if I was a parent, I would absolutely do. So I'm not begrudging Angie for it. And I do think it's funny that Lisa caught on, because I think it's honestly kind of an iconic move and one that I would think that people use a lot. And why shouldn't you? You go through enough shit as a parent that if you can say my child is calling because you just don't want to talk to someone anymore, God bless you. Like, go for it, babe. But, you know, I wasn't Angie in that scenario, and I don't think she totally understood what was happening. I don't know. It was like one of those episodes where it, to me, just personally, it wasn't gangbusters. But I am curious for AG's thoughts on this, on Bronwyn as a whole, and also Bronwyn v. Heather, and now this Michigas Bronwyn v. Lisa Barlow. So send me your satchels of gold, your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, named in honor of Her Holiness Kelly Cloran Ben-Simone. They may be included in this week's Satchel Spectacular. So please slide into my DMs on Instagram. Please include your first name and town. My IG is at Dame Galley. Include your first name and town. And let me know your thoughts and feels about this, about Orange County. I know I still have Potomac and New York on the docket. So that is up next for deep dives. And then certainly we'll have some upcoming episodes with guests, because I just feel like there's a lot for me personally to catch up on. And then after that, it's kind of like the recap 101. And then after that, we build on that with episodes later this week that I am going to be recording with guests. So curious for your thoughts and feels, questions and concerns, because, you know, I love recording a Patreon Satchel Spectacular. And you can listen to those episodes at the AG page, which is patreon.com/andysgirls. And hopefully everyone is taking a deep breath and getting through this week the best way they know how. I know I am. The bar is very low for me, just getting prickly, a little prickly pear margarita this week, and just recognizing it and saying to myself, okay, just give yourself a little bit more of a break. And maybe if we could give one to each other, wouldn't that be nice? But if that isn't possible, just make sure that you are taking care of yourself as best you can. And certainly send me your thoughts on this episode, meaning the episode of Salt Lake City, because I would love to unpack them on that upcoming Patreon episode. Thanks again for listening, and I will chat with you soon. Bye-bye.
Lowe's knows you want to get even more value for the holiday. That's why as a MyLowe's Rewards member, you get new member deals on holiday decor, tools, and more. And you earn points when you shop. More points equal more rewards to help you save on holiday and more. Not a member? Join for free today at Lowe's.com/MyLowe's Rewards. Because Lowe's knows deals. Program subject to terms and conditions. Points are awarded on eligible purchases. See Lowe's.com/terms for full details. Subject to change.